Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are Reclaiming the Republic with your help. We kind of wrapped up the resolutions and Republic Review. Anybody that does not see how Republic Review completely dovetails. It has more details. As a matter of fact, we, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think we're missing anything. There may be some clarity that we're going through right now as we, having read it and having made some edits to it, we're going to go through it and kind of edit that and clean it up. Because as I go on the fly when I'm doing it on the show, it's not the cleanest process. So we're going to get those documents cleaned up or edited and cleared so that we can get them up onto the web page. This way you can download these things and have the current up to date. And by the way, if you find any problems, email us. Just send us a PDF file with some comments in it, because most people can make comments in a PDF with regular Adobe PDF Reader, which is still free, even though those shysters are doing everything they can to squeeze every penny out of anybody that uses their products. I hate Adobe. That's right. You've heard it from me. Adobe has been a greedy corporation for as long as I remember. I went out and bought products from a university, right? You'd think that the university would be an authorized salesperson because we were getting discounts or a sales base. And over time, Adobe comes along and says, no, you can't. Those are unauthorized purchases. And I go, you got to be kidding me. You're telling me that this university, accredited university that I went to for my business school, was unauthorized in selling that? Why don't you go after them and sue them instead of telling me? The reason why is because they know they don't have a leg to stand on, but they know you don't have the deeper pockets to fight them, where the university would walk away clean and Adobe would have a press nightmare where people would go, well, you know, what the heck is Adobe doing? But they get away with trampling on the little person. I'm not a fan of Adobe. There are Nuance and others out there, but I think, you know, some of them, and you can get PDF readers for free, but either way, just send us a PDF from the application of your choice, or if you want to put it into a text document with comments inserted. We're pretty leery about using Microsoft and other word processing programs, but a PDF is kind of like an image, so it's a little safer, because if we get something that is not what we would consider a safe format, we'll probably come back to you and say, hey, can you at least just send us an image, a JPEG or what have you, because that way we can kind of contain it and, you know, scan it to make sure that it is clean and we don't get hit with a virus, or because there are people that are gunning for us. And not that we don't trust all of you, there's just other people that would love to kind of upset our cart, you know, knock the oranges out of the bin, what have you, just, you know, to make our lives a little miserable. Because that's what progressives do. They do anything and everything they can, as you know, because it furthers the cause. This is why I've noticed that some conservative organizations really aren't that conservative, because they use progressive tactics. I remember talking to a gentleman he was the former director for Idaho for the Convention of States, and he was constantly being harangued and harassed by John Birchers because, you know, the John Birchers do not want the Convention of States. Well, so instead of trying to unite, instead of trying these groups over, how long has this quarrel been going on? 20 years? Over 20 years? Yeah, over 20 years. And they still have not been able to find a middle ground and try to unite. They have not been able to discover. I mean, I'm the one that had to discover these paradigms of Madison and Jefferson I don't want to say challenged, because bottom line, this whole concept of nullification that all these groups are supporting, they're wrong. I can't believe, you can tell I'm frustrated. I can't believe I'm the idiot that was able to extrapolate this stuff. Seriously. I mean, there are a lot smarter people than I am, But why is it that they couldn't see the forest through the trees? Why is it they didn't really read the notes on nullification? The funny thing is, I see John Birchers all the time actually cite that document as, yeah, it's living proof for nullification. Come on, it's not. It's absolute abhorrence. Madison is stating abhorrence towards nullification. He looks at nullification as the wrong direction completely. It's the same thing as just checking out and saying we're done. No, you can't do it. It's chaotic. In a union where there is uniformity, there must be uniformity. Not that what the federal government is doing is legitimate. We have to organize to go after them. And until we're organized enough to where we have enough states to go after them, we really can't be nullifying anything because all we're doing is creating more chaos. And what we want to do is we want to prove, and we can do, first off, we can do this, and we want to prove that in doing this, we can actually get rid of this thing called the Article 5 Convention. I do not believe it is necessary. Anybody that looks at what Republic Review or the power that the states possess, this is why I think Madison had a hard time really putting his arms around why we needed to get rid of that during the convention, because he's the one that got rid of it, and they asked to put it back in because they felt that they needed some safety net, some mechanism in dealing with things that they felt they needed to add to the Constitution because the federal government was going to become, this was the anti-federalist thing. Mason and others said, we need to have this as a mechanism. And again, Mason in his good-hearted intent and his nobility was wrong. I'm sorry. Mason was wrong about a lot of things. He was a very smart man, and he saw things that nobody else saw. But I'm here to tell you, Madison knew what he was doing when he actually got that out of the Constitution, when he removed Article 5, that path, the state's path of a convention, out of the Article 5 process and out of the Constitution. If you go do the research, you'll notice that they injected it at the very end. It's almost the same thing as the apportionment for representation. I believe that the apportionment wasn't really settled on 30,000 until right before they did the final draft on the Constitution. So there were all these things in flux. The miracle that they were able to keep track of all of these things that were still in, you know, these finalized changes. The real reason there was so much contention and so many issues was all more about slavery than anything else. So do not let anybody tell you that these men wanted to keep it. They came to the conclusion in August that they wanted 10 states. 10 states. Actually, without Rhode Island being there, it was 9 states. So to be honest, 9 states in the convention came to the conclusion that they needed to. This included Virginia and Maryland. They concluded that they needed to get rid of slavery. And it was August 22nd when the two Carolinas and Georgia stepped forth and said, if you get rid of slavery, we are out of this union. We're leaving. And that was, to me, I think that was a bluff. I think that what would have ended up happening was, because Georgia would have probably easily gone on board with the Constitution and changing its slave, because plantations were limited to 10 miles square. If I remember correctly, 10 square miles. There were not large plantations down in Georgia like there were in the Carolinas. And so if you look at where Georgia was, it was right next to Spain. I'm going to bet that Georgia probably would have ratified the Constitution even though they left the convention and say, we're going to leave the union. Those men didn't have the power to go back to the state legislature and say, we got to leave the union because of slavery. Because I don't believe slavery, even though it was it had a great toehold there. It had a better toehold up in Virginia, just because of the size of the plantations and the amount of slaves. Because where was that big rebellion of slaves? Wasn't it? I think it was either in the Carolinas or Virginia. It was not in Georgia. Anyway, as you know, they say armchair quarterbacking always, you know, provides, you know, 20/20 vision or what have you. But the fact of the matter is that it was a huge mistake when they did that. But what we want to do is we want to get into how you are going to get organized, or how you, if you're motivated and you're ready to actually start leading your county to become a constitutional county, we're here to help. We're here to, if you need videos, if you need us to create content, we will put things, we'll put our priorities aside so that you can have what you need. Give us, go look at our videos that we have that you can start off with and tell us what else you need. And we'll be happy to create a couple of more videos to get them out there. I think some videos that we need to go into is First Amendment petition and probably common law grand juries, just some high level details that we can actually, you know, generate that will help people understand how these two tools will help them, so that then, okay, now we're ready to immerse ourselves in a deeper understanding of these, you know, because it would kind of give you the 101 view, you know, in education, and then we can dive into the 301, 401, 501 type of view, or maybe we just go straight into the 501. I don't know. Anyway, with that, we've got the obligatories that we still haven't hit yet, so we'll be back with the obligatories and the what you can do and how to start getting organized after these two promos. So please stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this. This is one of those shows you just can't miss anymore because of the content and the information we're giving you. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as you know, this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org. And as you know, this is the only show, you're listening to the only show, that is not designed to entertain and is not designed to try to give you updates on the things that really have nothing to do with the solution. We're not here to really distract you. The only time we cover the news and events, like yesterday in our previous episode, we focused what was going on with Afghanistan and a little bit of need to know news. And we'll get back to need to know news when we go through this process here. And then we'll get back into content. The reason we go into what we call news or current events is what we call marketing. What do you mean by marketing? Well, whenever you look at how bad, how sucky government has become, how out of the boundaries and overreaching they have become, then we go through this, or there's complete failure of following the Constitution and doing their job like yesterday. And then we turn to you and say, well, folks, what is it going to take? Why do you believe that after 50 years, 100 years, 150 years of decline and greater and greater violations of liberty, the direction is just going down the tubes faster and faster? What makes you think anything that is currently going on is going to stop it? What makes you think that this next election at the federal level, getting Trump back in, because obviously Trump didn't do anything to stop it in the last election. The only reason we are working hard to get Trump back in office is so we can buy ourselves a few more years. What we have to do is we need to get Trump aware of his lawyers, aware of this lawsuit that is suing Congress for failing to do their job. This is not about the state elections. This is all about the Constitution, the Electoral College, and the constitutional process and the requirements of what makes an Electoral College constitutional. This is what it's all about, folks. And this is where the Supreme Court, their hands are tied. We want them on the record that they are either going to at least sometimes do their job, and in this case, if they don't, then they have completely turned their back on the Constitution of this nation, completely. And everybody needs to understand this, and this is why. Going into Republic Review, we have to include the complete consideration of dismantling the Supreme Court the way it is today. And there's a better way of doing it, and we can talk about that. But we cannot allow the federal court system to become the monkey dancing to the organ grinder's tune. And who is the organ grinder? Whoever is driving this globalist agenda. Soros and company, the queen, the monarchs of Europe, whomever. I mean, the Bible points to the monarchs, right? Doesn't it? If you look at the Bible, it actually puts the highlight on the monarchs in Revelations. These other people are just, again, these other people are just key players that we see that don't necessarily affiliate to the monarchs. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever thought of that? Why is Soros so focused on, but the monarchs aren't focused on at all in our world, current view? But in the Bible, its view is, John the Revelator, he's pointing to the monarchs. Interesting. So as we start regrouping and, shifting our paradigm towards, some reality and truth, we are here to help you so that you can start waking up and getting other people around you. Reasonable people equally informed seldom disagree. You just got to get these people equally informed, and it won't take much, and we're here to help, and we're not from the government. Anyway, Timber Nation, I highly recommend you take an opportunity to go to timbernation.com, look at some of the products that these guys make. If you are an audiophile, if you like home entertainment racks, home entertainment systems, but don't end there. I mean, that was their big focus, and that has been their mainstay for years. The owner of that has made a career out of that, and he's turned this business into a family business, and they now have the ability of doing tables and other types of things. Instead of going to these progressive companies like Oak Barns Recycled or Woodland Creek or whatever their names are, I don't know. But instead of going there, go to a patriotic organization. If you're looking for furniture, if you're looking for a table, you're looking for a desk, call these guys up, especially if you want a quality desk that you can actually give to your posterity. Okay? There you go. Anyway, Red Pill Expo, Lafayette, Louisiana. Legislators have free access. I'll be talking to Dan Happel later on today, and we're going to be talking about this opportunity of having legislators who can't make it, that they can at least stream for free, if they prove that they are a legislator. In other words, that they, you know, they have to register with their legislative email or what have you. This way, they, you know, we've got evidence that they are the ones that are, you know, receiving it. So anyway, and they'll be the ones streaming and engaging so that they will have the code and the access to be able to do a Zoom meeting with us when we do our Saturday meeting. You need to, we need you to emphasize that they got to get involved. If they don't know why to get involved, if they do not know why to get involved, send them to reclaimingtherepublic.org. Send them the link to our constitutional articles page. And then refer them down to our constitutional minutes. They're all down there in PDF. And if you don't think that they will go, then save these PDF files. I get frustrated. Anyway, save these PDF files and then send these PDF files to them and say, read these minutes. We put golden nuggets in these things. We've framed it so that by the end, we were actually getting a great level of success in having, legislators from states. What is the chances of a legislator even responding to an email like that? Really low, right? I actually got legislators from Tennessee, Georgia, Idaho. I mean, almost every state I got responses from. Over 50% of the states I got responses from. Where these and the latest responses and most of the responses after the end, I did get the progressives. There was a progressive in Georgia. Actually, there was a conservative in Georgia, come to find out, because I always go check when they say, take me off your list. And a conservative, supposedly an alleged conservative in Georgia, came back and said, hey, get me off this list. I don't want this crap. And so I contacted the NLA people in Georgia, and I said, hey, this guy is supposed to be conservative, isn't he? And they said, yeah. And I sent them the email. They go, oh, my, wow, we're going to have to call this guy out and call him out on the Constitution. And when he says, well, I didn't know, they say, well, you're the one that took yourself off the constitutional minutes list. Anyway, poke these guys in the eye. If they're going to serve, then they need to know what they have to do to serve. If they're not willing to serve, get rid of them. We need to have honest conversations coming up where in the election, you need to actually challenge your legislators in the upcoming election to say, there's a good chance that you may have to work in an emergency session for the next year or two. Do you need the income from your normal job to be able to do emergency sessions where you won't be able to work for a couple of years and you're going to be doing public service work instead? And if they say, well, I can't do a full 2 years of not working, that would be bad for me. Then you tell them, okay, then why are you running? We need to start separating the wheat from the chaff, period. That's what we've got to start doing, period. Okay, Harry, I hope you're listening, especially if you're looking to finally do something. And poke yourself in the eye, Harry, for voting for Biden. If you don't, I'm losing respect for you and all of your ilk out there because you are in absolute denial. And as far as I'm concerned, you're just like Baghdad Bob. Just like Baghdad Bob. Folks, we got a comment line, 425-270-5416. Now, okay, Constitutional County. If by chance you who are listening live in a county or parish, which means 100% of you, except for all of those folks that listen from overseas, because we are broadcasted overseas. All of you who are living in the United States, that live in a county or parish, and you don't see any movement. All you see is maybe a militia. All you see is the Republican Party. You see the Constitution Party, the Democratic Party. You see the party apparatuses, right? You see those. You see, the Second Amendment groups. There's, the gun store and the affiliates that are running the Second Amendment. And if it's really strong, if the Second Amendment groups are really strong, you probably might have a militia out there. And they may be calling themselves an unorganized militia, but they're really not. They're just a bunch of gun toters that are doing, drills and working on, tactics and those types of things. But that's not a full militia. if you understand a full militia, it's not just about fighting. It's about politics as well. If you go back to the history of the militia at the turn of the revolution and everything else, these guys were engaged in politics. They were engaged in all sorts of civics matters. They weren't just the guys that wanted to go kill things and blow things up and that type of stuff. As a matter of fact, most of the people back then, you know, were actually repelled by the idea of having to kill somebody, having to do that type of thing. So, you know, not that I'm associating, you know, because somebody could easily associate sociopaths and that type of thing with people in the militia. That's not at all the case. We've had outliers. We've had more outliers on the progressive side going and shooting up concerts and doing all sorts of just evil, terrible things, in contrast to real hardcore conservatives like, what it was, Ted Kaczynski or what have you, the Unabomber. I mean, those are real, real outliers. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find conservatives doing that. We'll be right back after these two promos.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, health care, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so here we go. Now, we're looking at you living in the county or parish, right? Because that's how we're broken up. That's the sub-element of government. Just so you understand how important the county is, where are your votes counted? Why is it that there is actually a court at the county? Because in a Republican form of government and in the design of the way the framers created this constitutional hybrid republic, we have a responsibility of self-governance. And so the intent was to distribute power closest to the people as possible, which is why we have these county seats, county courts, and so forth. This way, the people that can affect your lives the most, like healthcare, education, and all those types of things, should be accessible to you. And a county back in the old days would have been and should have been less than a one-day ride. In other words, as they started breaking up the states, they tried to make sure that everybody within a geographical region called a county would be able to get to the county seat in less than a day. Why? So that you could vote, so that you could go to court, so that you could, you know, do your business with government. And as we have increased our access of being able to get to the county seat, it makes it a lot easier. But the whole point was that that's where almost all your business needed to be done. There was very little business that needed to be done at the state level. And the state legislature and the state government was to support the counties, just like the federal government was to support the states. This is why, after the Constitution was ratified, every state reorganized itself into a bicameral legislative body and went out and readjusted all of their counties for militias and everything else so that the militias were proportioned by county and county population. This is why, when you read the ratification debates, and most of the militias were kind of already done that way, but the structure of government was the real big change after the Constitution. Because prior to the Constitution, the paradigm was that representation was for people. We never created representation for a sovereign. And what do I mean by a sovereign? Actual government. Government never had its own representation at the next level up. In other words, at the state level, the counties never had representation. But in creating a bicameral legislative bodies, they shifted one of the bodies into the Senate, which became the representation for the counties, the county legislators. And many states actually appointed the Senate to actually represent them, just like in the U.S. Constitution, that the state legislatures appointed those who represented them in the Senate. Most people don't know these types of little facts, but here's the interesting thing. Over time, things started sliding into a paradigm of democracy. And that was done by the courts. Why? Because they knew by using and implementing a democracy, they were on the path of destroying our Republican form of government. And the only way they could do this was to keep people illiterate and stupid about our constitutional makeup, our history, and the definitions and terms of the Constitution, the ratification debates, these types of things. So people can start really looking and going, wow, they sure did talk about the counties in the ratification debates. Wow. Why is it that we didn't look at the counties? Because today, the counties are so marginalized, and it has nothing to do with the original intent. The original intent was where the counties were the center of our government in our everyday lives. So as we understand, and that's why in the old days, you know, they wouldn't go to the Capitol when they would have cases. There would actually be a traveling judge that would go out to the county seats. Because when Jefferson was tried for abandoning his post as governor by the oncoming governor, I forget who it was, they actually went to, but actually I believe Jefferson was kind of close to Richmond, so he may have been in that county where Monticello was. And so that was a particular case where they actually traveled, but I believe that it was still a traveling judge that came into the court, because I remember that the court or the judge didn't really know Jefferson, but he made a comment. He says, "Mr. Jefferson, I understand that you're not a Christian in good standing, and so because of that," and this was before the proceedings even started, he basically told Jefferson, he says, "because you're not a Christian in good standing, we will not allow you to bear testimony in this court. However, because you're an officer in the court, you're a lawyer, a practicing lawyer, and passed the bar, the standards, or you're registered with the state of Virginia," whatever it was back then, because it was before the bar, "then we will allow you to ask questions and we will allow you to cross-examine, but you cannot bear, and you can create your arguments, but you cannot bear witness." In other words, you will not take an oath to bearing witness. You will function as an officer and only an officer. Why? Why did they do that? Because back in those days, if you were an atheist or not a Christian in good standing, you had no credit with the court and you were not allowed to bear testimony. You think that's important? Absolutely, that was important. And why is it that we started abandoning and turning our backs on that kind of standard? If you read Joseph Story's autobiography. I cite this in my first book, that Joseph's story, which this was like in the mid-1800s when his autobiography was written, because it was addressing this fact of why they didn't allow atheists and non-Christians in good standing, or citizens who were not Christians in good standing in their communities, why they weren't allowed to bear testimony, because they were considered infidels. They couldn't be trusted. They weren't going to church on a regular basis. They didn't feel like, you know, you were going to be held to a standard where God would be judging you. You understand? And the way he kind of describes this, it goes like, wow. I mean, I think that that is actually a pretty good standard. Anyway, and I can know any atheist that's listening to this, or any agnostic, anybody that is anti-Christian, is probably just writhing in hearing what I just said. And that's okay. That's all right. We're here to frustrate those who do evil. Anyway, back to you and the county. And what are you going to do? So clearly, you have to have friends. You have to know people that are like-minded, and you have to know people. As a matter of fact, if you don't know anybody, and this is an indictment of how social media and how the millennials, if you're a millennial and you don't know how to meet people, then the places you need to go is you need to start going to the different churches. Go to every church out there. Go to all of them. You will find that in the Christian churches in your county, most of them have patriots. And so what you can do is you just attend, and you don't have to talk about politics. What you do is what happens when you attend somebody's church and it's not yours? Well, a lot of people are going to come up and shake your hand and say, hey, what are you doing here? You looking to investigating or what have you? And say, well, actually, I was under the impression that there might be some really good constitutional lovers here that attend this church. I'm not looking for political affiliations or anything like that. I just, looking for patriots and people who love America and love the Constitution. And then you can start wading through those people who are recommended, or people that, oh, that's me, hey, and you start making these connections. It's real easy. It may take you some time. And then what you do, and this is kind of like a raw recruitment. Because, and let me talk about the actual positions that one person will have to take on in creating and getting the ball rolling if you don't have anything rolling other than these other organizations. And when I say other organizations, we're really just talking about the party. What you need to find out is, as you're doing this, you're basically doing research or what have you, you need to find out about civic activist organizations that might exist. Is there anybody that's working tactical civics? Is there anybody working health or health freedom, or critical the race theory, anti-Obamacare? Are there any organizations? Because there are a plethora of these, and what we probably need to do is see where we can provide you with the national organizations who can get you in touch with local people. Because what you want to do is you don't want to take these people and say, we don't want you to stop doing what you're doing. What we want is we want to actually kind of invite you to a meeting of, kind of like let's get to know all the patriots in the county. It's kind of like a social, but what you're really doing is you're setting up a social for an organization or two organizations that are very specific. The Constitution Party, because what you want to do, if the Constitution Party is not operating in your county, the best way to do that is you go to the state chair and ask the state, I live in this county, is there anybody that's a part of the Constitution Party? And if they are in my county, are any of them a chair? Are we organized at all? And if not, can I get their names? Because I want to get organized. And that's what you do. You just start making phone calls and you get people to actually start helping you, and they will. They are going to help you because we need all the help we can get. You start making connections. You start actually connecting with people in the NLA as well. You contact the National Liberty Alliance and you tell them what state you live in, and they can tell you how many members that they possibly have. They may not have many, but I'm going to tell you that there's many people that will want, and you will want, to get involved with the NLA and join. They don't charge to join. I wish they did. the Constitution Party should charge to join, like $5 or something like that, just for, you know, the paperwork and that type of stuff to support administratively. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we start reaching out and start making these connections, you're going to create, let's call it a Rolodex. In the old days, what was it? Yeah, I got to remember. Kids today don't even know what a Rolodex is. Is that a watch? So what you're going to be doing is you're going to create a directory and an indexing with people's names. Use a spreadsheet if you want to use a database, whatever you feel comfortable with. I would recommend probably using a spreadsheet, because with spreadsheets you can do filtering and organizing and that type of thing, and you can expand it and grow the information. I think it's just a little easier to manage than having to go all the way down and creating a database and that type of thing. You can get started just that quick. Here's the thing. You start basically identifying and creating what you would be doing as a comms public relations person, as the leader. You are a self-appointed leader. Now, let me just state this right now. There may be another leader that's going to come along, and they may want to actually either duplicate, do again, or what have you. It is not worth bickering and becoming divisive between two leaders in trying to do something good. Real leaders find ways to work together and try. It's not about what you're doing, and it's not about the credit. A real leader doesn't even care. A real leader wants results and cares about results. And that's what we have to focus on. So it's not about anybody out there, you know, coming along and then saying, and maybe they start sharing. But you got to be careful when you start sharing your information with them, just to make sure that they're not, you know, a front. They're not a bad player. You know, they may be a bad leader, but some of the things that you have to start embracing and some of the things that you have to start sharing with people is fundamental leadership.
because people don't know how to lead. People actually have bad paradigms of leading. I mean, a leader's in control, and I'm going to be the one that has the final say. And they become Hitlers and so forth. That's not a leader. That's a manager. That's right. A manager manages an agenda. A leader actually makes, you know, through the process of leading people to safety, you're going to have to make decisions. And if your decision was in the very beginning that we got to take this route, and then you start going down this route, and you realize that that's not a safe route, you need to take a different route. Then what do? You have to take a different route. You don't stick to your guns and say, well, and then when people chat, oh, you didn't know in the first place. Well, these things are dynamic. We got here and we realized that there are these circumstances or what have you. You have to be able to make the right decisions at every point in time for accomplishing the objective. And the objective is obviously saving our Constitution. So you become a comms and public relations person. You're also becoming a recruiter by making all these phone calls and doing this. You're also training yourself and educating yourself on things that people need to understand and do so that they understand. You know, when I look at the military, when I served my time in the military, and I'm just relating this to militia, fundamental leadership was a requirement education, as well as further education in understanding strategies and understanding tactics and understanding, you know, critical thinking, those types of things. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, that, you know, it's not about going out and, you know, trigger squeeze and breathing, and, you know, on your practicing on your targets and those types of things. That's only one, you know, in the Marine Corps, we only did rifle and pistol qualifications once a year. We did humping so many times a year, but we did all sorts of detailed work and technical training as an intelligence analyst, as an intelligence manager, and an intelligence leader. We had all sorts of different training that we had to do. The same thing when I was doing systems engineering and leadership in the Marine Corps, when I was doing food service. I mean, I actually had 5 different military occupational specialties, which basically is a career. When you go and you get your training and now you're certified to be able to go and do that one thing, you've passed all the you get the certification and now you're a system administrator. Now you are a topographic geosurvey. Some of the things that I had done in topographic geosurvey, I did terrain analysis, and I was a certified terrain analysis. I was an imagery interpreter. All of these types of things, and then I got lots of different certifications as an intelligence analyst and as intelligence leader. So these types of things are important. These are technical things that are necessary, and some of that's, I said computer, right? Is a computer going to kill people? Well, in cyber warfare, it can save people or what have you, but it's not about pulling triggers. An unorganized militia has to be very comprehensive. And it's not just about, you know, being a Lightfoot brigade or Lightfoot infantry, what have you. So when you're starting to talk to the leaders, if there happens to be a militia, because we're talking about all these different organizations in your county, if there happens to be one, you need to have this conversation. And if you need help, I'll be happy to help. And what we can start doing is we can actually, because I would be happy to do this, we can have a conversation with that militia leader on the air. And we can talk about looking at what they had to do in the early days of the revolution in forming the militia and getting organized to basically going against Britain. It wasn't about just getting guns. They already had the guns and they already had the fundamental militia stuff. They may not have been trained, they may have been poorly trained, but what was really important was the civics stuff that they had to do in getting representation created and getting involved. They may not have had parties back in those days, but it's the same thing today. And we have to actually get organized as a party. But here's the point on getting organized as the party. If the party is not focused on the Constitution, then the party is worthless. The party is an agenda, and it is an agenda management apparatus, which fundamentally is most all of the Republican parties out there. go to a Republican Party, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong and show me how the Republican Party on a week, on a monthly basis, whenever they have their meetings, is actually educating people regarding the Constitution. Because constitutional literacy is our greatest problem. People do not understand, you know, all these things that are violations about the Constitution and our constitutional history. This is why it is critical that you attend the Republican Party. And then when they say, well, why don't you join, and say, well, you know, you're not even offering any training. And I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm the expert on the Constitution here, I was coming to hopefully learn more. And if I'm the expert on the Constitution here, then that doesn't bode well with me. Now, if you're willing to let me start teaching, you know, every month when you have your meetings, bring in a video and offering some, you know, insights on the Constitution, then, you know, I'll probably join. But if you're not going to even care about embracing the Constitution and improving constitutional literacy amongst the Central Committee, then I'm just going to attend and continue to witness how the party is a part of the problem. And that's going to insult that chair if you take that type of approach. So take a softer approach. You want to get the chair involved and embracing, because see what's going to end up happening. Because this is the inevitable path, my friends. As you start converting these county chairs of the Republican Party towards the Constitution, they're going to run up against resistance at the state. And when the state says, stop doing that, or at the national level, and the national level says, you will stop doing that, then everybody will see how the Republican Party is nothing. They don't want to have anything to do with the Constitution. They do not want their leadership and those involved in the party learning and talking and dealing with the Constitution and constitutional perspectives. That's how bad it is. And I am telling you, even these limited, you know, these organizations that are out there, activist organizations, I'll point to some John Birchers. I'll point to this last summer where there was a summit, a Liberty Summit. And it's kind of funny because we were doing Liberty Summits, and I told some people about the Liberty Summits we were having and how it was all focused on the Constitution. And then there was a Liberty Summit in a dark red state. And come to find out, there was really nobody there that was actually talking in the details of what had to be done constitutionally. In other words, there was no pointing to the real solution of what we had to do. There was no unifying. And I'm going, this is an indictment. And the gentleman that was driving this was a John Bircher, a guy that had, you know, and he's a good guy, but his paradigm is off kilter. He needs a paradigm shift. And until he opens, you know, as we get older, we become less willing to open up and actually look and challenge our positions. And there are people that are going to be like that. I'm going to tell you, don't waste your time at this point. I do not waste my time on people that are not willing to actually open up and be, you know, willing to challenge their position. I'm working with a gentleman right now that is a hardcore First Amendment petition politician, believes that that's the only way to do this. And I am telling him that you can do a lot of great things with the First Amendment petition, but you cannot get the federal government into full compliance by using First Amendment petitions. You cannot do it. We must get the states as the parties to become the tribunal. That is the only way to do it. That's what Madison stated, and I think he understood the power of the First Amendment as well as the power of a compact and the power of the parties, and that is all about Republic Review. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show
in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.